I'm the type of person who would always try to plan out everything I did. And in reality, that's never how your life changes. Your life changes from you doing something in the moment because it feels obvious. One day I decided this is the day and I didn't stop, versus what I spent a lot of years doing, which is like sitting at a desk trying to map out how I was going to do everything. That never changes your life. It's the obvious thing. And I just want obsession to like become a religion for people. Just something people believe in and it helps them live their best life. I'm trying to have obsession be much bigger than me. The goal, if what I'm doing really works, is like obsession. People know it and like recognize it, but they don't know who I am. That concept is super important and no one really talks about it that much. So like started making those animated videos, which 2D, like black and white. After I posted like 5 videos, I was getting like tens of millions of views. There was no planning. I just went to this lunch, met this kid and had an idea and went home that night and started.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Inside the Inspired. My name is Jonathan Cullen, and today we are talking about obsession. What does it mean to follow your passion? What does it mean to discover your passion, infatuation with the things that you love and care about? Where do you draw the line? Today, we are meeting an expert and one of the internet's most widely sought after writers talking about obsession. With millions of followers around the world at this point, and also an athlete and video creator, entrepreneur, I'm so hyped to welcome my new friend, Mr. Zach Pogrobe. How are you today, sir?
Let's go. I'm pumped. That's a good intro. It's a very professional intro. I like it.
Hey, man. What can I say? When you earn it, you earn it. So right off the bat, man, like, I know that the premier question is, what does it mean to be obsessed? But I'm curious, actually, where do you draw the line with your obsession?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I've had to figure out. Like, I get asked a lot, what is my advice with obsession and relationships, right? Like, with friends or with a romantic partner. And it's like, I don't know. That's like the one question where I'm 27 years old. I'm still figuring that out. I think that's the hardest thing to figure out. If you think about like billionaires and these people who have this extreme success, the most common failure is that they fucked up their relationships and that they like had a horrible family, right? So I think the line is just not compromising what makes you happy, right? Because I think that's what I did in the past in like with girlfriends or even friends. It's like pretending to be someone you're not. That is like the really dangerous trap where when I've done that, I like resented myself and the person, right? So that's not necessarily like the answer to your question because I don't know the answer. It's like, I don't know the line because I still have to go find it myself, I think. So I could say from other people, but like the line is not, what I'm trying to do is just not compromise who I am.
I think that's so important to manage and keep that integrity when especially you like go to the nth degree to discover what obsession means and how far and what it looks like to really push yourself. And athletics is one kind of format that you do that in. But you've also got this fantastic platform for how you express yourself. You have an awesome presence on X, an awesome presence on Instagram. I think part of what attracts people to your content is that they build a trust because they see the way that you think. What drew you to writing about obsession in the first place?
Yeah. I was graduating school, right? I was like wanting to become a doctor, sort of like on the pre-med track.
Wow.
About to finish school. Did the pre-med track, but like probably was it would have taken full obsession to become a doctor, and I just didn't have it. I didn't really want to. It was a good thing to go after. So I was graduating and just like it's hard to explain, but like one day it just hit me that if I just make content every day forever, things will work out. And that's kind of when it started. And my content started as like me posting like little funny, like almost like pictographics, like wake up early, eat healthy, like the most bullshit possible. And then it changed to like more like quotes and writing. And then it changed to like all my writing basically now. And so it's hard to remember like what I was actually thinking when it started, which was only like 5 years ago. I just decided I was going to do it every day forever. And that's like a nice feeling to have. And that hasn't changed.
That all in approach, I'm sure, is part of what's like been the catalyst to figuring out like, hey, where's this thing going? Well, I don't know. But the only way I can actually figure that out for sure is if I put everything else on the back burner and go all in.
Yeah.
So you have this awesome skill for writing. When did you first discover that you could convey your thoughts in the way that you're able to and actually capture someone's attention?
Yeah, it's funny because like as a kid, I was always good at like reading and writing in school. Those were like my best subjects. So it's like you could say it started there. Like there were summers where I would just obsess over like one author and read all his books. Mm. Not that many summers like that, but like a few. And I don't know, it just happened gradually. Like I think one thing I did, which a lot of people do, is you start by sharing other people's ideas, right? Like I shared mostly quotes from like people like Andy Frisella, like David Goggins. Like you scroll down my Instagram, that's what it is. It's just like basically quotes from like those guys. And then slowly over time, I share like the thoughts I'm having. And then eventually that's all I'm sharing. And it's like, you go back to my old content and it's like me, it's like a bad version. It's like someone trying to write like me now, just like bad. Just like that means you're improving. And it's like you just piece together the writers that you're obsessed with, I think. And a great way to do that is by sharing them and like curating, right? It's like curation can be a great way to lead to creation, I think. And but I do think overall curation is like overrated. Like I think the best thing is to be an original creator.
What does that mean to be an original creator?
I mean, there's nothing truly original, right? Like everyone's being influenced by something. But it just means to not be like constantly like, okay, it's like the difference between if I only posted quotes from others versus sharing my own quotes. It's a lot easier to get traction and make money and get attention being a curator, which is what most people do. And you can do both, but I think it's super, what's more undervalued is to use the curation to create something original, right? Like curate things sort of mentally, but make something original. I think that's like the hardest thing and the coolest thing to do.
Your creativity spans these different buckets, we'll call them, for lack of a better way of putting it. You have this framework that you talk about, the artist, the athlete, and the entrepreneur. Can you expand on that for the audience a bit, what that means?
Yeah. So that to me is like, the way I kind of define obsession right now, like it's in my bio on Twitter, I think, is like obsession, a way of life for artists, athletes, and entrepreneurs. And it's like the people I really admire, almost all of them are perfectly in those categories, right? Like Tim Ferriss, Joe Rogan, like these people who like, a lot of them are like media icons, but like, you know, Joe Rogan, like art, I think is pure, his most, probably what he would consider his art is comedy, but also his podcast, right? Definitely an athlete. Like when he was younger, it was such a savage and still now is a savage, in like jujitsu or whatever he trained exactly. And then entrepreneur, like Joe Rogan is fucking crushing it, has the biggest podcast in the world, has companies like on it. And I even look at my friends, like my best friends were all artists, athlete, entrepreneurs. Like we're friends now. It's like, you're in that category 100%. And it's like, you start looking around, it's like, oh, this is exactly what everyone I like is, right? And yeah, I think it's like, what's great about it is a lot of people are more attracted to that artist, athlete, entrepreneur than obsession, right? Because it's like, well, one, it's like less divisive, but two, it's so simple. It's like, oh, am I doing these three things? How am I doing these three things? What am I missing? What am I doing too much of?
When I first heard you talk about it, it was really not necessarily eye-opening because I know about it, but at the same time, like, I know my own goals in terms, like, I play the piano, I love to write, I love to create content. You know, I have this podcast and all the different philanthropic projects that I work on, and you know, obviously my training, like, is my training. I think the audience knows about it at this point. It's like when you can compartmentalize your life into that kind of structure, you start to gain more clarity over the different things that you want to accomplish within those respective categories. And I feel like a lot of what people do these days is they get lost in the confluence of everything instead of creating a bit of structure. And the other point that I have heard you make in the past is that there's kind of these seasons and chapters to each of those different endeavors. And the season that you're in right now, correct me if I'm wrong, is kind of like that athlete with a bit of the artist, obviously, but you kind of have that art down. And I see you attacking all the different mediums. Could you kind of go into your goals for maybe each of those different buckets?
Sure, yeah, it's a good question. And yeah, you're right. Like I'm definitely in this athlete era right now, this athlete arc, I think. And the hard part is the artist, I made a video like ranting about this. The artist has to, one, I think, come first, and it has to be the priority always, right? Because the artist is the true scarcity, and true scarcity is what gets rewarded the most, right? It's like the artist is the thing that can't be replicated. The artist is the thing that only you can do, and that doesn't feel like work, right? And you have to like filter that art into the athletics, into the business. And if you don't, then you're probably doing the wrong things. Like there's a lot of similarities between writing and with running, a ton, right? They're both things that you basically have to do every day. You only get rewarded like a few times a year with like a book or a marathon, right? It's, they're both just like monotonous, like writing, editing, running, miles. Like they're very similar when you start to think about it. And that's what I mean. Like writing is my art, like words, my art. And it's like, it makes sense why I like running. There's like a great writer named Haruki Murakami. He's a big fiction writer.
Okay.
And he has a book. It's called like What I Talk About When I Talk About Running. And it's literally just about his love of writing and running. My goals are like, it just means like, so I have this like path of obsession, right? Sure. Which is like what people like Arnold and Steve Jobs and Walt Disney have gone on. And at the end of it is the pinnacle. And that to me is like their the true maximum potential in their life, in their craft, in their field. And my goal is to like reach the pinnacle in all three in some way. So it's like in art, that means like making, having the number one best-selling book in the world when I launch it. That means in athletics, doing something that no one has done in running, which I think I could do. And in entrepreneurship, I don't know what that means exactly. It's like, I'm still trying to figure that out. Like, does that mean having a portfolio that does, you know, X dollars per year? Maybe does that, I don't know what that means. And part of me struggles with this because I think it's great to have a very specific decades long goal, which I don't really have, but I have the general vision.
I think that's actually very narrow. Like part of it is that it should be open-ended. It should be abstract. I don't know what the entire vision is for this show and like all of the different courses that I teach and people that I get to work with, but every single day it evolves and letting it kind of take a life of its own, right? Like we get the chance to connect over running and training and, you know, sit down, have a conversation about like, what is the meaning of life and how we can make the most of it. And for me, impact is really important. And obviously that's a prime focus for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could elaborate on what kind of impact you're hoping to make with your writing.
I just want obsession to like become a religion for people, right? Like not actually religion, but like think about what a religion is sort of without getting too like woo-woo. It's like just something people believe in and it helps them live their best life, right? That's basically my goal. It's like have obsession become this like concept in the world that young kids can like attach themselves to and helps them form an identity and it helps them, you know, become their best self. And that's what it basically did for me before I had like the branding around it, right? And so that's the impact. The impact for me though is very specific. Like I'm kind of like a inspired by like Ryan Holiday here, right? Mm-hmm. Like Ryan Holiday is trying to make stoicism a thing more so than Ryan Holiday, which is why Ryan Holiday becomes a thing, right? That's the same thing I'm trying to do basically. I'm trying to have obsession be much bigger than me. The goal, if what I'm doing really works, is like obsession, people know it and like recognize it, but they don't know who I am. That means it worked. And that, it's very like, that concept is super important and no one really talks about it that much, but I think about it every day.
A prime example of that, I think you posted it recently, is that you were running and someone shouted obsession in the street and you were like, I hope they weren't saying that just because of me. I hope they were saying it for the sake.
I hope they didn't know my name. I hope they just like saw my content and like, that's probably what happened, dude. She probably just saw my page and like saw the obsession stuff, doesn't know my name. And that is sick. She's like, oh, you're the obsession guy. Like, what's your name? Like, that is the goal. I didn't get to talk to her. She just like, which makes me think she didn't know who I was. But funny, right?
Yeah, man. That is when you're aligning with something bigger than yourself. And I love how you cited Ryan Holiday as an example. I got the chance to sit down with Stephen Pressfield. And, you know, I know you know who he is. I'm sure the audience does also. And he talks a lot about resistance. Resistance is like his thread. And how you can overcome resistance, putting yourself right in one of his other books, Put Your Ass Where Your Heart Wants to Be. I feel like it's almost been normalized to have a healthy body and not to trash your body with all these different substances. And there's this focus on being the best version of yourself, at least in the circles that I kind of walk in or run in, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're a young guy, 27 years old, millions of people are reading your work. There's an immense responsibility that comes along with that. I'm sure that you feel some sense of a weight and responsibility, if at all.
I guess. I don't think too much into like the numbers. Nice. Like I never think about it like that. Like I tend to think I'm like, I don't know. I don't let it get to my head, or I don't think about it really.
I noticed that.
Like I don't.
That you don't let it get to your head, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, try not to. I feel like it's starting to a little bit because like, people are telling me it's like I'm cool. Like cool people are telling me I'm cool, which is like that used to not be a thing. But it's like I still think I'm relatively. I just don't think it matters. Like and that's the truth. Like it's just numbers. Like I don't have the most. I don't have 1.5 million true fans. You know, I don't have like maybe a few thousand. Right. It's like It's like number doesn't mean anything. Even the views, it's like it's just views. Doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. So like, and like everyone's followers and view counts got inflated over the last like 2 years,
yeah.
including mine. So it's like, can't let it get to your head. It's like, but yeah, I don't feel responsibility. I guess I do. Like, I want to be an example for people. That's why I'm putting up my face out there so much more now and trying to do video stuff. It's like, I want to be an example of obsession in a way that I wasn't before. So in that way I am. Yeah. It's like really important to me to do that. I stopped posting me eating like candy before a run. It's like, maybe that's not the best.
I think that comes with experience though. Like the more you kind of see the ROI on your nutrition and the recovery, you're performing a bit better. So you're like, hey, when I eat better, I run faster. When I sleep yeah. more, I run faster.
After this, my coach is coming here. Jonah. Did you meet Jonah ever?
I don't think so.
He's at the first run cult. And yeah, we're doing like an hour on nutrition because he like knows I'm fucked. Like I'm like, I will say though, yeah, like, I don't know. I ran the best I've ever ran like the start of this month. And I was getting like 4 hours of sleep a night. So it's like, you can do good on no sleep if you're into what you're doing.
Yeah, man, I'm 1,000% on that trajectory. When I was at the DA's office, I was a criminal prosecutor in the Bronx for 3 years.
Okay, damn.
And a special victims division. And so during COVID, we were able to like work from home for a bit. And so I'd have to work the night shift sometimes. And that was from like 5 p.m. to like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., whatever. And so I have this friend, shout out to Coach Jay. He's a Muay Thai instructor, studied Krav Maga in Israel for like 3 years.
Damn.
And he would come over at like 1 o'clock in the morning after I'd finish a night shift. And we would just like train for an hour to eat at like 3 a.m. I'd wake up, like
Savage.
Eat, train, like go through a full day. He'd come over again. And that, like whenever I could get it, I was obsessed. I was infatuated. And like when you're in that zone of genius, when you're in that zone, like, you just don't get tired. There's like this level of just persistence and eventually it catches up with you. I don't know if it's caught up with you just
it
yet.
Did like last week. Now I'm sleeping normally. So but no, you're right. Like I say, like when you're obsessed, 1 hour of sleep counts for two.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it literally does. That's how it feels.
So you have these goals with your running. Do you have any goals with your writing?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to write books. It's just like, it's a few things. Like last year I started getting those opportunities, like talking to agents, right? Because I have a big following. But it's like, and there's two sides to it. Books take a long time, like traditional publishing. So basically if I started it now, let's say I sold a book next month, book deal, I wouldn't come out till like 2026, which is like great. That's how it is. 2 years basically. And so it's like, probably should start it now. But at the same time, like I am not, in my brain, I'm not far enough on the path of obsession that I talk about, like from the beginning to like the pinnacle. I need to get a little further on it before I like start talking about it in a book, right? Because I think your first book matters a lot. So there are books I could write. I don't know. It's just like in the moment right now, like you said, like I'm in my kind of athlete arc, I think. So it's like, that's genuinely how I think about it. Right now, like that's kind of consuming my life more than anything else. I'm trying to figure out how to still do a good job with the other stuff. But it's tough when you're totally obsessed by something, which is that's kind of the point of everything.
What's really cool about that statement is there's this level of humility in the way that you communicate that. You're like, I haven't earned it yet in order for me to convey the message, because the message you're even saying now needs to be bigger than you. And when you have a purpose or a North Star that you can point to that is bigger than you, then it's a lot easier to like stay on that path and follow that mission. So now as you craft your words and convey this message around obsession, you mentioned that there's this impact element and that you want young people. Is there a reason, is it young people in specific that you're working to make the impact with? How does that?
No, it's just everybody. It's everybody. I think I use young people because I'm still like relatively young. So like, mm-hmm. A lot of my stuff is like, you know what I mean? It's like, I use that because like, it's almost weird to me that I could inspire someone older than me, but I do, I think, and like I can. So like, no, it's everybody. Everyone should be able to like become obsessed at some point in their life. But yeah, I guess the youth thing is like, that's like that's kind of who I write to sometimes. It's like the 17, 18-year-old version of myself.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, that's kind of what comes to my mind. And I think that's when kids really need to follow obsession, because otherwise you get sent down the wrong path in life, right? Like if I went down the doctor path, I probably would have, it would have been bad. Like I would have taken, been so hard to get out of probably, because I would have been like me, like a lot of people, like you have the obsessive personality. So you're good at everything basically. Like that sounds cocky. Like
no,
you can be good at everything.
Yeah.
But it's like, you have to say no to the things you're good at to find a thing that you are ridiculously great at and born to do, which is hard to do. Like I did good in school, even though I hated it, because I just forced myself through it. Right. And so, yeah, like that, like me leaving school, right? Like that's like the perfect time for someone to find my message, I think. Like right when they're about to graduate, because it's like, dude, this is the time to like live at home, eat ramen, and like obsess for years to make something real. And that's what I did. And like, I think it's working. And so.
When we run and you put together this run club, and when we got connected, shout out to Jimmy Grant. We're hanging out on Sunday, actually.
Oh, that's how we got connected.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah, man. Jimmy's the man. I think I'm going to see him Sunday.
Oh, great.
I think, I don't know. Are we all going to hang out? I don't even know what the plan is.
We could probably figure that out.
we should probably just all hang out. Yeah. I've never met him. Yeah. He's a legend.
Yeah, he's a legendary.
What were we saying, though?
He was at my wedding.
Really?
Yeah, man. So I think what I was saying is, as you look at everything you've accomplished to this point, and you reflect on this journey of what it's taken to get to this stage, are there maybe one or two points that you can look at, maybe inflection points in this journey that you can point to that were like, hey, I need to go down this path. This is what's calling me. What did that feel like?
It always felt very obvious, right? It's like I'm the type of person who would always try to plan out everything I did, right? And in reality, that's never how your life changes. Your life changes from you just like doing something in the moment because it feels obvious. So like when I started making content, I don't think there was ever a plan. It was just one day I decided this is the day and we're going to go. And I posted my first post and I didn't stop. And when I made like the obsession thing a thing, it was like this, like around this time last year in March. And I was just finishing a run. And like at the end of the run, I was like, hey, let's put out a tweet and see how many people are actually obsessed. Put a black flag in your bio if you're one of the obsessed. Boom. Didn't plan that at all. Just like at the end of the run, I had the idea and ripped a tweet. It's like that versus what I spent a lot of years doing, which is like sitting at a desk trying to map out how I was going to do everything and like how all the connected pieces of my business and the empire, that never changes your life. It's the obvious thing. And so like for me, those obvious things are starting the content. You asked like, what are the moments where things changed?
Yeah.
I mean, it was starting the content. It was making the obsession movement a thing. It was last year, around this time, sort of like November 2022, I started making those animated videos, which I don't, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't do as many now, but like that changed.
They were like, not 3D graphics, but 2D, animated 2D.
Black and white, yeah. Some of them were.
That's
kind of
how 3D. I found out about your content.
Exactly. So like that was probably the biggest thing I did. It completely changed my life. I took my writing I'd done for years, turned it into these animations, which most people hadn't seen at the time. And
I don't think anyone had really.
Yeah, I was the first one. There was a friend of mine did a few of them for Naval Ravikant.
Yeah,
you know who that is, right?
Yeah.
So this is the story. Yeah.
No, it's, Naval.
Yeah. Naval's a legend. This is the story. It's a fun story. It's all so dumb, but like I like telling it.
Let's have it.
It's like I was kind of stuck. I had like 200,000 followers from writing, but like on Instagram, but just still like a good amount. It's just like I didn't know what to do with it. It was kind of flat. Went to lunch with this kid, Dylan, hung out with him. He made some videos for Naval, like 4 or 5. And I was like, oh, it's pretty cool. I should try that for my writing. Went home that night, found an editor, actually made the first one myself in like Canva, just like ripped it. And after I posted like 5 videos, I was getting like tens of millions of views.
Wow.
And in that like 5 month sprint, I got like several hundred million views across my videos. Wow. And like you saw my stuff then, it like brought people into my content. And now people like the writing and they like all, and you came to the run cult, which is sick. Like that to me is the sickest thing ever. Right.
Yeah.
So insane. And so, but same thing. That was one of those things with those videos. There was no planning. I just went to this lunch, met this kid and had an idea and went home that night and started. It's like, there's no way I could have planned that.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed my life more than anything really. And so there, that's like a huge one. And then the only other one I'd say is starting the obsession movement and then signing up for my first marathon. It's like, that was also life-changing because that was when the obsession of running completely consumed me and like I just didn't sleep. It just was like learning every, it's a lot to learn. Have you done races? Have you done marathons?
Yeah, I've done a couple and a 50 miler.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you told me that. Damn.
I never trained for speed though. I just could run for
just to finish
hours. Yeah. Okay. I mean, like I did like 340 my first one.
That's pretty
my
good.
My second one was a bit long. It was this year. I ran it with my brother. He cramped up, so we had to.
Oh, you stuck with him though?
I stuck, of course, man. It's my brother, yeah. So we
I would have just been like, see you later. I don't rip.
He's my blood, man. I don't know.
What I respect it.
So, but we finished, and I'm gonna do the half, and I guess I'll announce it now. I'll be running 50 miles this year, and be running a few of them with me. I'm still picking out the razor, finding the details.
Okay. 50's a lot.
But yeah, I'm going to be documenting all the content. It's definitely a journey. It's not something that's novel to me. I don't know if you know about the 1,000 pull-up challenge.
No. Sounds cool, though.
So I did, last year I did, and Nando was there, I raised $20,000 for an organization called the Friendship Circle, doing 1,018 pull-ups in 4 hours.
Damn.
And it definitely took a toll on my body. My body has not been the same since.
Really?
Yeah. But you learn, you iterate, you improve, and you know, getting back to you and this journey, you have to kind of like take the lessons as they come. And I mean, every single philanthropic endeavor I've ever done, it's always been about like, how can I align myself with a purpose bigger than me in order for me to actually finish the thing that I'm seeking to accomplish? And like, when I listen to you and you talk about the wrong cult, you're like a modern day Tyler Durden. Like, it's just this really cool out. You've shaved your head. You've brought people from around the tri-state area together.
Some people, yeah.
And crazy. Then you inspire people around the world, and the club gets bigger week over week. Then the fact that people come back is also. And for the record, I've never done a run club in my life. It's the first one that I've ever done.
That's a lot of people.
And it's
there.
Been an amazing experience.
You like it?
I've never so we were talking about running for speed, right? So I never trained for speed, but you were talking about, I think that's when I cut you off, sorry. You were talking about how you're training for your marathon.
Yeah, I guess that's called, I mean, I'm trying to go as fast as possible, so I guess that's speed. But it's 26 miles, so it's like limited.
Well, you're running like 6 20 minute miles.
It's close. Not for a marathon yet. Well, maybe. That's the goal. The goal for Austin is to do basically 6:29 average pace.
That's crazy.
But I don't, right now I'm like, that's close.
Why? Weren't you averaging that for like the 22 miler?
I averaged that for, yeah, average 6:32 for 20 miles, which technically would make it. So I like not to change the subject too much, but like,
no, please.
I like this Ryan. Have you heard of Ryan Hall? He has.
Maybe.
So this is the thing about running. No one knows the people. Like, yeah. This dude holds the record, the American record for the marathon and half marathon. And no one knows who he is. Crazy. His marathon record is technically like not official because he did it on like a downhill course, but regardless. He has a rule that whatever you can run for 15 miles in training, right, in the middle of training block where you're sore and everything, you could hold for 26.2 miles in a marathon, which for my first marathon was spot on. I did 7:30 pace for like a big training run for around like 16 miles and then held that same pace for a marathon. Wow. So the issue was I just did that long run on Saturday, 6:32 pace for 20 miles. And I was like, I had to stop a few times because I was like sick. So like there was some rest in there. But I was also sick, so that definitely slowed down my paces. So it's like up and down. So I don't know. It was probably close to accurate. But anyway, that's my side rant. I don't know what we're talking about.
So I think, to kind of guide the conversation back, I think like what's unique about you is that you have this crazy athletic potential, right? That's like those paces, those numbers, your age, where you're at with your audience.
Well, it's because I'm new. That's why it's crazy. Because I've only been running hard for like 3 months.
Yeah, but you've only been running hard for 3 months and also like writing at your stature for a pretty long while. I mean, like the guys that first come to mind is like maybe a Rich Roll, you know, who's like an attorney, like, you know, Ivy League educated and has been doing this for decades.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's like the trajectory that you're on right now. I mean, you know, we kind of talked about what you see for yourself and who you're inspiring along the way, but like, and the responsibility that comes along with it. But I don't know how, when you first saw everyone show up for that run club, what was that like for you?
It was sick. Cause I was like, it was really cool. That was my first time ever asking like people to come somewhere, and not everyone there was there for my content. There was some people who didn't know who I was at all, which was good.
Wow.
The goal with it, I kind of stopped posting about it because the goal is for that to grow and me not post about it. That means, and that's kind of...
That's the Fight Club element.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why I actually might close it. I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to be like, hey, this is the last chance to apply. Run Cult is going dark for like 3 months where no one can get in unless you're like privately invited off of social media. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be kind of sick, right?
Yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, it's only growing through word of mouth now. Literally, that's the only way. That was a cool feeling, though. It was cool to like... Cool to meet... Like, there was a guy who came who I like responded to. He replied to my newsletter like 3 years ago. And I like replied and it helped him. And then he's coming here like 4 years later to the Run Cult. And he like moved from like India. We're like, isn't that sick?
Wow.
That's so sick. And yeah. Like, that was cool. And so it was cool to meet some people who followed over the years. But overall, it was just cool to make something that people wanted. Like guys like you, like there wasn't really a Run Club for guys, right? Didn't really exist. Like you never went to one. I never went to one. Run, like, because think about it. Like, what is a, going to like a Run Club to meet people, it's kind of like a feminine thing. It is, sort of. Like when you say it, no, it is.
Right? I'm with you. No,
it's something
I'm
like girls you. Do. And that's why if you go to the most of the Run Clubs, it's like all girls.
Usually it's like kind of track stars too that have their sure. kind of thing.
Yeah.
They've been like running forever.
That too. And like this is like, oh, a Run Cult. That's for guys. Like yeah. That's for guys to meet other like obsessed guys. And yeah, it was cool. It was sick. It's fun. Like it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to like playing around with it more, trying to add new stuff to it. Cause I don't want it to be the same thing forever. Maybe we'll mix up the routes. Maybe we'll add new stuff. Maybe we'll add another day. We'll, you know.
Oh, that'd be cool.
We'll see. Different types of workouts. There's a lot to do. It's fun.
Save me on the commute. Make sure there's one uptown.
Where are you coming from again?
Uptown. Like Upper East Side.
Okay, yeah. It's not too bad. Yeah, that was like one of the first things I was thinking. Like if the group gets, I don't think it'll get that much bigger unless I keep pushing it for like a little bit. It'll probably grow slowly. But if it does get too big, start like a Central Park group. Maybe, you know, something up there.
So I want to have a bit of a debate. Do you mind?
Sure, yeah, let's go.
Course creation.
I was just talking to someone about this.
You're not a fan. And, well, I don't want to speak on your behalf. What are your thoughts on course creation?
I think when you're taking a course, it depends. I think for tactical stuff, like how to set up a camera, like this setup here, sure, like a course is like a useful way to learn that. But if you want to be an outlier, which a lot of people do, right? Like they want to be an outlier. They want to have extreme success, especially with media or content or anything creative. I don't think the big piece of that can be taught in a course at all. I think it's actually the opposite. It's something that cannot be taught. So it's like if you're taking a course, especially on like content or creativity, it's like you're basically learning from someone with an extreme outcome how to have an average outcome, how to be like 10% of this guy or 5% maybe, if that. It's like so... There's that piece of it. Like, I think people, like, the problem is they're bad. Most of the courses are bad. There are some good courses. Like, you know Jack Butcher? You seen that guy?
I think I've
Visualized Value on Instagram?
Maybe.
Like, yeah, he sold courses and made a ton of money, and they were great. And I actually took some of them. They were great. But, like, he's, like, the 1% where, like, most of these people... The problem is then I'm less, like... I'm more of, like, you want to be careful following these guys who all they do is sell courses because... Mm-hmm. Because all they're doing is making their content about that problem and it's going to prevent you from thinking bigger. Like, because I like would think about selling courses and different memberships and like it held me back a lot, I think. It, like, versus thinking bigger now where like I want to remove myself from that category as quickly as I can and get towards like the pinnacle, right? Because the guys at the pinnacle, they don't sell courses. And if they do, they're like big education companies, right?
I think... You kind of argued both sides.
I did, yeah, I did. Well, I just had the argument. That's why with somebody. But yeah, tell me what you think.
I think, I mean, when I look at it, I spent 8 years in school.
Yeah.
And recently, I interviewed Dakota Robertson, who
big course guy,
big course guy, but he also didn't even go to school, and so he's like this fantastic writer who understands how to convey a message, capture and keep and convey a message, capture and keep attention and convey a message with brilliance, you know? And so when it comes to courses in general, I mean, I've taken a couple, the Danco, I'll refer to him as, just to help understand how to design an avatar and kind of guide, you know, your mission and your brand. Justin Welsh, like those were some rudimentary, like low barrier courses that I could say, what was the ROI? I think I learned more about the value behind content creation. And when I think about the value of courses and how to convey a message and earn someone's trust, I think, yes, there's a lot of people out there who have very malicious intent. It's really just for the sake of making money. It's not about bringing the best out in your audience or your customer, and there is an ulterior motive which undermines the sincerity of the product and the caliber of, and the quality of the product. And so what you outlined was kind of arguing for both sides, and any of the points that you were making, I was like, okay, yeah, like that's exactly how I feel. So I'm glad that we're on the same page about it, because I think that's also the difference between long form and short form content, right? Where you have to have a strong opinion in order to convey a message. And so, you know, your voice in your writing, how did you come to discover it?
Yeah. And also one more thing on the courses, sure, which I didn't get to say, is like, the big problem, I think, is that if you start selling courses, I think it can hold you back from doing like your best work and mm-hmm. the work you're meant to create. Because you just have to imagine, let's say you start a course and then you start making hundreds of thousands of dollars from that, which is great. What if you get stuck there and you never create the thing that's going to make you tens of millions? Mm-hmm. It's like, I think that is a lot of people that are going to go down that path. And I just want to remove myself from that category, because I'm kind of still in it for some people, like the Dan Coe, the Justin Welsh, like the creators, like I'm kind of still there. I just want to get beyond that as quickly as possible. And I think if I was to sell more of those stuff, I would be placed there more permanently. That's like how I think of it genuinely. And there's nothing wrong with those people, and there's nothing wrong with learning from them. I'm sure those courses are great, but it's like, for me selfishly, like that's how I think of it.
It's really, there's this element of nobility in the way that you talk about it, right? Like but it's so cool because you talk about it in a way that's like you're holding yourself back from what you're really truly capable of. And that's a lot of about what Inside the Inspired is about. It's fully trying to tap into who you are and understanding the vehicle and the person that you need to become in order to get there. Every time you level up, you have to tap into another part of who you are so you can rise to the occasion and embrace that responsibility to show up for the people in your life, the things that matter to you, and bring value to the world. And if you're thinking about the dollar instead of the impact, and like, you know, you'll fall short of the impact and you may not even make as many dollars as you're possible of making. But the question was, how did you find your writing voice?
Yeah. Partially it was people I really liked. Like there's some like Bukowski mm-hmm. in my writing, like Charles Bukowski. There's some like Pressfield, I think, in my writing. There's some of that. I also think there's just like, it's just refinement, right? It's like, posting every day, it's hard not to iterate. It's like almost impossible not to. That's why I'm a big fan of like, that's why I'm doing YouTube right now. And I'm doing daily, because there's literally no other way I could get decent at it. To be fair, I'm not getting that decent yet. But it's like, there's no other way I could operate. It's like, you have to do something daily, because then iteration is obvious. It's, you cannot not iterate when you're doing something every day. And so that's how I found it. Yeah, it's just like, because like, think about it mentally, you're posting every day, you're seeing what's working on the algorithm for you. And then it's like every day your brain knows more and more of what works and what's better. And then eventually you don't make the same mistakes. So that's how I found it. I found it through also just trying to be like sounding like no one else, right? So like I want to have this huge audience and make content no one else is willing to make. Like, I think yesterday I posted this thing. I almost deleted it because it was pretty harsh. It was like, running should not be fun. Running is like a war.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people hated it, but it posted actually did pretty well because like some runners related. And that's what I mean. So it's like not being afraid to like just be crazy. And like, you know, there's a line, right? Like you don't want to say anything fucked up, but like you can go pretty far across that line. It's like living on that line, right? It's a line between like getting canceled and just like being a little divisive, and yeah, you want to live like right on that line. That's when like you're interesting, I think.
But like I think identifying that line in and of itself is a skill.
Yeah, right? 100%.
Like, and it sounds like you know where that line is.
Like there's a line between, yeah, like going too far where like, okay, like you're not gonna go on like Ellen or something. Not that that's the goal. There's a line where like you go too far and you get shut out by like mainstream people.
Sure.
But if you don't go too far, then you're still in the world where I do want to be like a main obsession to be a mainstream thing. Yeah, you're right. It is like a skill to know where that line is.
So we've talked about quite a lot today. I think that, you know, I learned a lot in terms of your desire to make an impact and the mission and the nobility behind it. Truly, it's invigorating in a lot of ways. I think what's also cool is the community aspect that you've built, and I've experienced it firsthand. I think even on Monday, I ran my fastest 5 miles I've ever run in my entire life, which is cool.
Let's go.
I'd never done anything like that before, and you have to run with people who are faster.
Were you with
you
the front group?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Shit, dude, they're fast.
Dude, they said
did you
they
stick with them the whole time.
Yeah, whole time.
Dude, they were running like 7 minute pace.
Dude,
they're psychos.
And it was annoying because they said it was going to be 7:30, and I was like, oh, I could do that. I did 7:45 for like a half marathon. Like I could probably hang for 7:30.
Yeah, no, I think I said that. They just ripped them. I mean, I can't stop them. Dude, some of those guys up there are savages. Like,
yeah,
insane runners.
So I've been lifting before the runs also.
You told me that. Yeah,
and that's savage. Like, I love it because the balance of lifting and riding. I'm curious, maybe you could share a bit about your training regimen.
I got pretty big. Like, my arms were probably like twice as big.
You're
as
you're a massive dude.
Like,
that's
my arms
I'm
were
asking.
Like probably twice as big as they are now, or at least they felt like that. But that was all I did, like bodybuilding type of workouts for like 5 years. I stopped playing soccer. I played soccer in college, or tried to. Did like 3 seasons. Didn't play that much. But after that, I just got really into lifting. Like a lot of people, I was super skinny back then, right? Never worked out. And then got really into lifting. Lifted like probably 6 days a week for the last like, up until last year, probably like 5-6 days a week lifted, mm-hmm. but never made like that much. I made a lot of progress, but I was never like, I never thought about competing in bodybuilding. I never like got in that sick shape. I got shredded like once, sort of, you know, like I loved it in the beginning, to be fair. I was totally obsessed. I would spend 3-4 hours in the gym. I was watching all the fitness YouTubers. I was spending all my time on lifting with them. After that, and I think this is happening to a lot of people. This is kind of like my big thesis right now. Thesis. Okay. Dude, I feel like you should know this.
You're the writer.
No, you're the lawyer. You're the lawyer. I feel like lawyers like do the theses.
Theses.
Okay, theses plural, I think. Anyway,
oh, theses, yeah.
Plural. But anyway, I was so into lifting, and then I think over the last few years, I just got out of it. I was just going in the motions. And so now the way I'm looking at myself is I'm a professional athlete. Like I should be acting like that. I definitely am struggling on like the diet side, getting used to that because I haven't had the best diet. For like the last few years, it's kind of just like reckless. And like when I cut, I'll just do like, you know, I'll just do like the most reckless shit to cut weight. And relatively, just like not good choices, you know,
I
like processed stuff, stores, restaurants versus like Whole Foods. But I mean, right now I'm training for Austin Marathon, running basically every single day. I basically run every day. Some days I'll do like a really light, like 1 or 2 miles. That's like my rest day. And other than that, yeah, right now doing like 55, 60 mile weeks
wow.
for the last few weeks, which has been fun. It's the first time I've done that. I'm still in like the honeymoon stage of running, you know, like before that. So okay, my first marathon was December 3rd. Before that, I did like 1 month of sort of marathon training. Before that, I did like, I would go on a few runs a week for like last year. And then, but yeah, now it's like, it's very serious. It's like a lot of running. It's hard. It's like an hour plus of running every single day. But I'm totally addicted. I'm so excited. Like I'm still making so much progress, but I'm getting to the end of that compounding curve. Like I don't know if it's compounding, but like the exponential curve of like newbie gains, right? You're making so much progress. Like yesterday I had my first bad workout ever.
Okay.
Ever. Like I haven't had a bad workout where I went out to hit this pace, even when it was really hard and I didn't think I could do it. I always hit it. Yesterday was the first time I went out to try to hit something and I couldn't do it.
Humbling.
It was, oh yeah. So humbling. I'm like still super depressed from it, but it was, so that's my routine now. It's like, I have this race in February. I have another one in April and probably all this year. I'm going to train like a professional marathon athlete.
So no real weightlifting right now.
Dude, like very little. Like, and that's honestly from like, I'm lifting like 2-3 times a week, full body, like mostly just like fun workouts. Like
yeah.
Body, like just like push-ups, pull-ups, curls, like basic shit. And honestly, like part of that is like my coach even told me like, yeah, like you're already lifted for years. Like, you're not like these other guys like who are super skinny. It makes sense logically. It's like other runners are super skinny. They need to like strength train more, but you like have muscle on you. Like, and I didn't even realize like I have some muscle on me. Like you look at my hamstrings. My hamstrings when I run are like popping. And like the running is like, there's no benefit really. Like there is, but there's also not. There's the other part that's hard for me is I'm like, I've been cutting weight. I lost like 30 pounds since September.
Wow.
Which is a lot. Cause I wasn't I was like, I would call myself fat. I wasn't really fat. I was just like a little thicker. So like it is super hard to run and lift and lose weight. It's like almost impossible. If I was in a flat, if I was like not in a deficit, I'd probably be lifting more, right? But it's genuinely like an energy thing. Like you need calories to lift.
And so to like, run.
Yeah, to run, of course. But then like today, tonight I want to go lift and like I am like, you ever lift like when you're fasted sometimes and you just feel dead.
It's every day.
That's how you lift fasted every day?
Every morning, yeah.
But you're used to it. But I eat
a lot the night before and I'm used to it.
You're used to it. But like for me, like that's how I feel. Like I feel drained when I lift. So it's like, I think, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to get, I think once I hit like a steadier weight, I'll lift more. But
I was very curious because, you know, I love to run and, you know, Monday, keeping that speed and being able to lift. I don't know how sustainable that is to do back to back on a weekly basis necessarily. Awesome. But again, I don't know how sustainable it is. I felt fine, but still it takes a toll. And, you know, you want to be smart about this because the goal isn't to do it just for like a minute. It's to do it forever.
Yeah.
And I'm like curious from a curious perspective, like if I didn't have to lift as much, what does that look like if I want to run?
How much are you lifting?
I lift probably 4 days a week. Right now I'm doing a split of full body push, full body pull, and then one arm day. So I guess 5 days a week.
What are your goals this year? You want to do the running? I know those. Do you have other goals?
Well, last year was interesting because I did a full marathon and I did the 1,000 pull-ups. So it was like strength-based and like both endurance-based. But like this year, I don't think I want to do another pull-up challenge like that ever again. I think I'm okay.
Like you're not interested in like, are you interested in like a High Rocks? You've seen High
Rocks. So I'm doing High Rocks in June, actually.
Yeah, I feel like you mentioned that. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I've announced that either, but I'm doing it with one of my friends. I'm not doing it as a solo endeavor.
You'll want to keep obviously strength for and keep strength training, but I don't know. I'm of the mentality like, I'm not interested in being a hybrid athlete. This is obsession, right? This is my thesis. This is like what I'm betting on. It's like, there's a new type of runner that lifted for the last few years and is super bored of lifting now and wants to go and do a new challenge where they can actually compete. Everyone can go and do a marathon. Not everyone really can do a bodybuilding show. It's like totally different type of competition, right? Totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, everyone could do a bodybuilding competition. It's just like, there's no shot you're going to win. Well, you could, I guess, join like a low competition one and compete. But like, you know what I mean? It's like versus a marathon, everyone can set a hard goal for themselves. For some people, that's 5 hours. Some people, that's 3 hours. But everyone can go and set a hard goal and go try to chase it. That's why it's so addicting. That's why it's so great. So I'm a fan of like, what is this new type of runner who's like me? Like probably, I'll probably get to like 185 pounds maybe over this year. And like, that's like me like shredded, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you want
to. How tall are you? Like 6'3".
So I don't know. What do you think that is shredded with like some muscle? Maybe like 180?
I'd like to be 185. I'm probably like 195 right now. You're 6'3"? I'm 5'11". Bro. Oh, okay. 6 foot.
How much do you weigh
now?
How much do you weigh?
195. Like one. It's between 190, 195. You can see my top.
Yeah. So. Six. Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a.
This is like this new type of runner.
It's like, that's what excites me. It's like, what is this type of runner who weighs like 180 to 200? How fast can they get?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's exciting to me. So yeah, the hybrid thing, like I don't want to lift right now. I'm doing it so I can still look good and like feel good. But like, and I'm weird with this stuff. Like no one else talks like this, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I know exactly what you're talking about. I think there's this big movement around it, and it started maybe last year, at least in my eyes, where I had done a marathon a couple of years ago and I was always lifting, like even the week of the marathon I'm always lifting, like keeping my numbers high. Like there's just the hybrid athlete's one thing, but like you said, there's these people that are kind of leaving the sport of lifting to go and run really far because I think they're realizing like, hey, this is like measurable, it's objective, like it's finite. You know that if you run a certain threshold, it's like it becomes absurd. Even with the endurance, I don't know if you've seen guys like Matt Troy or Johnny Davies running across South Korea, running the London line, like hundreds of miles at this point.
Crazy.
And it's just like you could eat whatever you want, which is amazing, but still.
It's one benefit. And they're so different. Like now when I lift, I'm like, this is so soft. And like, to be fair, I am lifting soft. And there are people who lift hard as hell.
Yeah.
I'm not blind to that, but like the way I was lifting was so soft compared to what I'm doing running. So that's why like I'm so addicted, and like there's probably, maybe I'll probably get more into lifting one day. Who knows what I want to do? But like right now it's like, this is it.
So how do you find the correlation between the fitness and the writing and the content creation or the expression of both? Are there any parallels there for you?
Yeah, I mean, there's this quote, I actually shared it yesterday. It's like Kanye was on this interview and the guy was asking him like, what is the difference between how you make music and how you design like a shoe? And he says like, it's all the same thing. And like, that's how I kind of, you asked me what are like the parallels, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's basically what I mean. It's like, because of what I'm doing with the content, it's like all one thing. It's like for the mission I'm on, which is like the mission of building obsession into like a world. It's like, there's really no difference between me posting on Instagram or going for a run. It's like, they're both pieces to that puzzle that like, it's almost like something I'm building. And so the parallels are like intensity, I think. I don't know. Like I'm trying to do both with extreme intensity. I try to write with intensity, right? And give someone a feeling of like, wow, this like was a gut punch. This made me feel something. And I try to run with the same thing too and like push harder than anyone I know. And they're very much the same thing and like the same feeling behind them in a lot of ways. And, you know, especially with the content too now, it's like they're both core parts of like what I'm trying to do, right? It's like it's more than just going out for a run, which I'm grateful that I can have that opportunity to like show it more. And like, I don't know, you know what I mean? That's like, there's like, it's just one thing now. It's like my life is just one thing. It's like one big art project. That's the best way I'm describing it for people. And I'm not totally there. Like there's ways I need to make money still, like, and I'm not making money totally from my art yet. I'm making money through other ways still. So it's like, that needs to be more cohesive. Mm-hmm. But like outside of that, it's like, it mostly feels like I'm just in this one big art project. My life is an art project and I'm making art every day. Like the Run Cole is like an art project. It's mm-hmm. fun. I made the pictures and like, I love that shit. It's so fun to me. And it's fun that people get to enjoy it and it's sick.
Zach, I've had an awesome time here today. This has been a fantastic experience. I've learned so much. I think the audience got immense amounts of value out of what you had to share. A lens into the mind of one of the internet's just most fire writers on the scene right now. Like the proof is in the pudding. Like the audience, the way you capture and keep attention, your focus on your goals, it's commendable. And the results that show as a result, it's all coming together. And I'm excited to see what unfolds for you, man. There's a question that I pose to all my guests that I'm not going to pose to you as we round this thing out.
Okay.
If the future version of yourself from 10 years from now, assuming he's in that ideal spot, were to fly in and offer you some advice in order to get there, what do you think he would say to you?
Probably think bigger. Like still like, that's like, probably think bigger. It's like, cause that's what has helped me like to my past self. Not that that person would give me the same advice, but like just not getting stuck in like small games and focusing on the bigger mission always and always pushing yourself to think bigger. I don't know, maybe eat healthier. I feel like I eat so not eating good. It's like, I'm just running. No more candy. That's the honest answer. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Zach Pogrul, please let the audience know where they can keep up with your journey.
Just follow me on YouTube or subscribe on YouTube. That's how new I am. It's not a follower. My YouTube is Zach Pogrul, posting videos every day. And my biggest platform is Instagram, at my name, Zach Pogrul, P as in Peter, O-G-R-O-B. That's what I tell telephone operators and also how I say my last name. And yeah, Twitter, same, just my name, and that's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Zach Pogrul. If you haven't already, subscribe to the channel and you can follow us on Spotify, YouTube, X now, Instagram @InsideTheInspired. Once again, my name is Jonathan Cohen and this is Inside the Inspired.